Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
The next item, Councilman McKee asked for just an update on any known lawsuits by or against the City of Milton. And I'll just ask the city attorney to identify any lawsuits that he's currently aware of or working on.
I'm going to excuse myself from this part of the meeting.
Oh, man. Milton strikes again. So the reason Mayor Heather Lindsay excuses herself from this part of the meeting is why? Anybody know why? Why? Because the only active lawsuit in the City of Milton right now is the lawsuit by the City of Milton against Mayor Heather Lindsay. She is the violator, defendant. I don't know what you want. I guess defendant. I don't know. It's a civil lawsuit. You don't really talk about them that same way. Anyway, so it's the public records. All the public records that she has not produced. Going as far back as the whole city manager and Scott Collins and the, you know, secret meeting at her house with Don Molinaro, the former city clerk, and the allegations of Alex Andrade messing up the process when it was actually Mike Cusack who really messed up the process. He also has not turned over his public records. In fact, he got rid of that phone and deleted emails and like, but, you know, the state attorney here does not care. Ginger Madden does not care about public records. She's not enforcing any of these violations. Maybe she doesn't think that it's up to the office's necessity, but she has decided that we're not going to prosecute these things, apparently, you know, because we have clear violators and we have no prosecutions. And so everybody's learning the lesson that, well, I guess, you know, sunshine and records laws don't get prosecuted anyway. So, City Councilman McGee is asking one of the new city council members. I think I said McGee a second ago. I apologize. Is asking for a meeting or an update on lawsuits. And Alex Andrade is the city attorney.
Remember, the only active instance of legal action related to the city that I'm aware of currently, because the Yellow River Ranch litigation was concluded last year, is the lawsuit on public records related to the mayor.
There you go. So after she's left the room, which is appropriate, because she shouldn't be weighing in on a lawsuit in which she is the receiving party, so to speak. So Larry McKee is asking for a meeting about that lawsuit.
Having discussed this with both you, Ed, and Mr. Andrade, we do need to make a separate meeting for this, please.
Councilman McKee, are you asking for a special called meeting for related to this case specifically?
Yes.
Okay. Just for the rest of the council's information, a meeting like that would have to be considered a shade meeting, meaning members of the public are not invited to attend. It's a meeting solely for the city council to meet with city manager, the clerk, myself, and a court reporter. The mayor would not be able to attend. The discussion would be recorded by the court reporter and published once the case is concluded. So if there's an indication of five council members who'd like to have that discussion, we can call that special meeting.
Yeah, so it's a shade meeting. That's when a municipal or county government gets together and talks about legal strategy and before the case is resolved. And because of, you know, attorney-client privilege, you can hide that in the semi-shade of the non-sunshine. I mean, it's still actually governed by law. He's right. You have to have a court reporter there. You have a recording of the minutes. And then once the meeting, once the case is resolved, then the shade meeting transcripts get released. And, you know, we've learned a lot of things from shade meetings. You know, Escambia County was doing like, you know, 15 shade meetings every other day. Santa Rosa County, I think, hasn't had one in 30 years. Maybe they've had one now. I think there was one they had recently. I could be wrong about that, but I think so. Anyway, so they're asking for a shade meeting about the lawsuit against the mayor, demanding that she disclose all of the public records that she has not disclosed so far, all of the emails and text messages that she has not disclosed. And so they go to have a vote on this question.
Show of hands for council members who'd like to have a shade meeting to discuss ongoing litigation. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. So we will schedule that and coordinate that with each one of you for date and time and place.
Here's where it gets interesting, but you got to know some stuff. Okay. Like everything that happens in most governments, you got to know a lot of the background to get it. And this is one of those you got to know the background. So going back to before the election, you had a city council that was made up of a majority, 6 or 5.5, depending on which way, you know, Gavin Hawthorne was voting on a day, that were basically aligned against the mayor and Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow, who were the two of the other side. Okay. They had a big election. All four of the up for election got swept out. Well, it's actually not quite true because I guess Casey wound up winning. Casey Powell won it, winning unopposed. But they did. They got rid of four. Okay, so they dramatically changed the orientation of the council. Now the mayor has a big majority, and the Pitchfork Posse, the opponents of wastewater treatment plant, those folks all have a majority of 6-2. Again, depending on how Gavin Hawthorne votes. I like Gavin a lot. He's a sharp guy. Anyway, so the six, as in the new four plus the old two, are voting to have a shade meeting and to talk about this litigation with the mayor, in which they will not only get an update, but in which they presumably could make decisions about what to do going forward. Here's why this matters. Or I should say, I'll tell you why this matters in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Oh, you had me. I was just like, yes, yes, tell me.
I'm trying to get closer to the fives and terrible at it, but okay.
I'm sorry. Okay, so no accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are looking good. Just seeing some minor slowdowns on 9 Mile as you go past like the Hillcrest Church area going eastbound. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, so the city council is asking for a shade meeting about the lawsuit by the city against Mayor Heather Lindsay, trying to compel her to disclose the records that she was supposed to voluntarily disclose but has not. All of the texts and emails, right? So why would you have a shade meeting on that? Well, the only possible reason to have a shade meeting on that is to try to end the litigation. But where is the litigation at? Well, at the moment, the judge has ruled that she has to disclose her public records, which she has to anyway. I mean, she's supposed to anyway. And then in the ruling that just came out on, when was this? This was last Friday, the 31st. This cause having come before the court to determine whether certain documents are public records subject to disclosure, the court hereby finds as follows. Florida's public record law defines public records as documents and other defined types of materials, media made up of in connection with the transaction of official business of any agency. Okay, good. It's a good explanation. An official or employee's communication falls within the scope of employment or agency only when their job requires it. The employer or principal directs it, or it furthers the employer or principal's interests. Not all written communications. This is the judge. Not all written communications sent or received by public officials or employees of a government agency are public records subject to disclosure upon request. The reach of the act is to those records related to the employer or official's public responsibilities. This is the difference between public and private, or public records and non-public records related texts or emails. The court has reviewed all the records submitted by Heather Lindsay. The court will note the number of text messages within these records could exceed over 100,000. So the judge has all the records and went through them to determine which were and which were not public records. The court attaches a spreadsheet with its findings. A Y designation means the document's public record. An N designation means the document is not a public record. Some have a question mark or YN to indicate that they're a mixture of things. The court has specifically stated which portions of the communications are public record and which are not. In other words, the judge read 100,000 messages from Mayor Lindsay, or to Mayor Lindsay, sent, received, to determine which ones are public records. Ones that I think all of which she has denied existed, certainly many of which she had denied existed, and has fought this lawsuit tooth and nail to prevent this stuff from coming out. Additionally, the court notes that personal opinions about members of city council, the attorney of the city council, and the city employees are not public record unless within those comments a discussion of city business occurs. So, mean things she said, mean tweets, mean texts, don't count. That's political, not public record. And that's true. The judge says, I'm just saying what the judge says. Moreover, the court finds statements and opinions as to political strategy concerning city elections are not public records, which is clearly in the text. She's talking with them about how to get people elected or unelected. You'll not get to read those. Discussing how to defeat a political opponent or the recruitment of city residents to run for public office, also not public records. Oh, man, I'd love to read that, though. Because there is obviously high levels of collusion going on out of the sunshine to try to wrangle a political outcome of, I don't know, getting four new city councils, council members in. What to say at public meetings in order to persuade the public to go along what to, you know, get attention with that might get played on the radio. You know, all of that. I'm sure there are such texts. I mean, 100% sure. Okay. The court has also designated some with a question mark. That's not important to you. For all documents the court has deemed a public record, defendant Lindsay will have 15 days from the date of this order to produce those documents to the plaintiff. However, the court believes a few documents pertain to city business may be subject to attorney-client privilege because it's between her and her attorney. Okay. So they are public records, but they're also, at the moment, attorney-client privilege until this case would be over. They're like shade, basically. So 15 days is a week from Friday, I believe. And here's the thing. If you look on this list, there are 3,237 entries. Entries are pages. So there are 3,000 pages of texts and emails containing 100,000 or so texts and emails. And the judge has gone through every single page and said, that is not a public record. I didn't count how many whys there were, but it looks just surveying like 75%, which would put somewhere between 60 and 80,000 texts and emails by Mayor Heather Lindsay that she said didn't exist are public records that she has fought tooth and nail not to produce, that the city council has now scheduled a shade meeting, I think for Monday, to potentially talk about what could they talk about 4 days before the deadline to release these, but to disband the lawsuit and make sure that the public records never get made public. That regardless of the judge or the lawsuit should be made public because they are, what's the word? Public records. So you won't be able to watch the Monday, I think it is, meeting before the Tuesday meeting. But Tuesday, they'll probably make an announcement of whether city council directed the city attorney to drop the lawsuit to force compliance with the law. And you'll find out whether the city council is actually going to serve Mayor Heather Lindsay's personal resistance to disclosing public records and do her bidding and vote to end a lawsuit that would only have made her do what she is supposed to do by law. Or whether they're going to say, no, produce the records. Is the law. The judge literally, can you imagine? You're a judge. You read 100,000. Oh my God, that must have been grueling. To read 100,000 messages and texts and to decide which are and which are not public record, only to potentially have the city council vote to say all that work was wasted. We don't really care. The law doesn't apply to us or her, and that's the end of that. Now, they may decide to go ahead. I hope they don't decide that sunshine doesn't matter. I hope they don't decide that public records don't matter. But, you know, you like I sometimes say about football, you got to play the game. Meanwhile, Mayor Lindsay, who is, trying to organize the meetings, and I think she sometimes does better and sometimes worse, but now that there's a new council and they're trying to figure out how many minutes you give which people at which part of the meeting, she's eager to say how much she's tried for years to do this.
For years, I've tried with virtually no support from the prior council. And hopefully now with new council, things will be easier. I have tried to implement
rules of order. Yeah, we want a clear cut for the public. More so, you know, we want the public to be aware of what the council knows and vice versa. So therefore, there's no...
It's because you have a rule in place about how the meetings are supposed to run, and they have decided not to follow that law. Remember, that was from the last couple of meetings. And basically, Gavin Hawthorne is asking, well, don't we need to change that rule? And she's saying, well, you know... Yes, it might be better, but, you know, I've tried for years to do this right, and they just keep thwarting me over history.
City has home rule, and the charter places the discretion on running the meeting and the mayor. So if y'all want to change the charter to adopt something new on that, you can. But Mayor Thompson and Mayor Meese had more support than I have had on being able to do my job.
The other mayors before me had it better than I have it. Now, the issue of the charter is not really... Gavin Hawthorne misspoke. They don't have to change the charter. They just have to change the ordinance. But, you know, either way. So that's our part one. Days of our Milton. Oh, man. Part two comes up next hour. We'll talk about it then. And, hopefully it will be equally or even more entertaining. 624 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. John, you're a Milton resident.
yes. I mean,
do you think that the city council will have the gall to go through with saying we don't care about these public records in the face of
I really do.
I mean, they've all been put in. Well, half of them been put in for a new 4 years. They're probably going to hope that. I mean, I want to believe the best. I want to believe that these are good people, decent people yeah. that are going to do the right thing.
Right.
You know, but you got a choice on Monday. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll find out on
definitely
Tuesday.
Will.
Yeah. So, anyway, hey, if you are an employer and you have employees, you got to deal with benefits, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability. You got to manage HR and payroll. It can be challenging. It can be frustrating. It can be work that you don't want to do because it's not your. You know, there's like getting into business and the thing that you do for your occupation, and then there's the management of the people, which is often the red tapey part of it, which is like, oh, it can drive you crazy. I mean, if you like it, that's fine. But if you don't, give Torgerson Causey a call. They do love it. They do love it. They love working on this stuff. They've been helping us here at Cat Country and News Radio for 4 years, and they have been great. I fully endorse them. My wife, who is an industrial engineer, you know, efficiency and process, and, you know, she's a detail-oriented question asker, and she usually gets frustrated with insurance people because they don't have good answers, and they're not detail-oriented. They're salespeople a lot of times. Well, look, Reed is great. Reed, they fantastic at giving answers. She gives them double thumbs up. So and that you do not get that easily from my wife. So 433-9996 if you want a free, no-obligation review of what you're doing to see if they can do it better for you or for your employees. Torgerson Causey, check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. Traffic on the fives, John Pickens.
That's right, no accidents to let you know about, but if you're traveling on 98 just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge going eastbound, you're starting to see some congestion delays in there, just a 5 to 7 minute delay, but still, it's going to slow you down just a little bit through the construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Veris Health Partners knows there are plenty of options when it comes to insurance. Owners Pam and Keith Giles will help guide you to choose the best plans for you and your family. As a veteran-owned independent health and life agency in Pensacola, their clients range from moms and dads on Medicare to individuals, families, business owners, and veterans who are looking for answers. They are researchers, educators, and advocates who take pride in guiding clients to become smart healthcare shoppers. Contact them at verishp.com. Veris Health Partners. Partners.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This town needs an enema.
Getting a bunch of texts in here that are all, like several different texts asking the very similar question, which is, well, if they do vote to call off the lawsuit and drop the lawsuit, could a citizen file the same lawsuit? Yeah. I mean, it's going to be hard. You know, it's been a long process just to get to this point. Okay. But yeah, no, that's right. Somebody else says, why isn't the state attorney enforcing the law? I don't know. I don't know. You know, but anyway, there's going to be a hearing. Oh, and the other slice of this is, so the city's expended resource on this, right? And if Heather Lindsay, the mayor, is wrong, the judge could rule that she owes fees. So if the city council decides to drop the lawsuit, they wouldn't recoup fees either. So it's literally going to cost the public records and money if they do that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Was that a quote from Jack Nicholson in Batman? Was that about Milton? This town needs an enema. David Wayne is in the newsroom with, well, speaking of all the wastewater treatment plant stuff. Anyway.
Speaking of the wastewater treatment, here's David. All right. Yeah, thanks. No, thanks for
anyway,
that one.
Go
yeah.
on. You go on. Sorry.
That's all right. Luigi Mangione's defense team is now adding a death penalty expert to help argue that case. The 26-year-old is eligible for the death penalty if he's convicted in the murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. And today, Andrew, is the deadline for federal workers to accept the Trump administration's offer to pay them through September if they agree to resign this month. Reports indicate that so far more than 40,000 people have taken the deal.
Hey, 40,000 is a lot. If you can, you know, that's a pretty quick trim the fat. Right?
Yeah, well, especially with federal, you know, federal 40, wages.
40,000 times yeah. 100, quick mass, $4 billion a year if they make 100 grand.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Today's the last day for federal workers to take a buyout offer to resign.
There's 40,000 workers that have accepted that buyout that represents about 2% of the federal workforce. The deadline is 1 minute before midnight tonight. And the Office of Personnel Management says workers who opt for the buyout will get paid through September without working.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. President Trump speaks at the National Prayer Breakfast in D.C. this morning.
It was founded in 1953 when President Dwight Eisenhower accepted an invitation to join members of Congress for the event. According to the National Prayer Breakfast Foundation's website, the event is an opportunity for members of Congress to pray collectively for the country, the president, and other national and international leaders.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. The president on Truth Social posts about his plan for Gaza. It would be turned over to the United States by Israel when the fighting there stops, and no American soldiers would be needed. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 67 degrees. We've got cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Well, the governor and the speaker of the state house have both apparently cooled down their feud just a little bit. Representative Daniel Perez yesterday said they're starting to get on the same page as the governor.
There's a compromise that has to be made, and you know, those discussions are happening here in short time. But, you know, both the governor and I have the same goal, which is to solve for illegal immigration. We'll get there. It's just a matter of when.
That's Daniel Perez there. Lawmakers called their own special session when they didn't want to deal with the condo crisis and ballot initiatives last month. During the session called by the governor, Perez says all of those issues, though, will be addressed in the upcoming regular legislative session in March. Well, the grace period is over for the red light cameras around Pensacola. Violators will now be getting $158 fines if they're caught. Pensacola's mayor says he's trying to fight a misperception that the city's just trying to get tickets to people who are only an inch or so over the line.
We actually rejected 38 citations, you know, about 3% of the citations during that period, even though they were just warnings and there was no financial consequence.
D.C. Reeves says it's about safety and the people that are getting tickets are the ones putting lives in danger. He said even as the city was advertising all the new red light cameras last month, they were seeing nearly 35 people a day running the light, just the light at 9th and Bayou. Well, one person has died, another hurt after a crash on the Bayou Tahar Bridge yesterday. That happened early on Wednesday morning. PPD said an eastbound vehicle crashed and then caught on fire. One occupant was ejected. Another died at the scene. The ejected passenger was taken to the hospital in serious condition. That bridge was closed yesterday for several hours during the investigation. Florida Senator Rick Scott says it's time to clean house at the Federal Reserve. Scott called for a change yesterday in a column on FoxNews.com. He said the Fed has been grossly mismanaged, and he believes strong new leadership is needed. Scott blames Fed Chair Jerome Powell for not keeping prices stable and fixing the jobs market that he says has been bleeding full-time jobs, and says the Fed needs to course correct and help American families. 6:34 News Radio 92.3 Grubhub says they've suffered a data breach. Customer contact info may have been compromised.
The food delivery platform said earlier this week that someone broke in through a third-party service provider and gained access to some details about campus diners, merchants, and drivers who've dealt with customer care service. Email addresses and phone numbers were impacted, along with partial credit card info for what Grubhub called a subset of campus diners. Company recommends customers create unique passwords for their accounts. I'm Michael Kastner.
Thank you very much, Michael. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looking at I-10, I-110, they're still flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays there. But again, we're seeing delays if you're on 98 eastbound, just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge. You're starting to see some congestion delays through that area, so just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
We are going to be looking at a chance of some dense fog through those morning hours. Dense fog advisory is in place. High today near 73 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. Fog possible again as we go into Friday morning. Temperatures warming up near 75 degrees in the afternoon on Friday. Partly cloudy skies. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 62. On Saturday, looking at mostly sunny skies with a high near 73 and a low near 62 degrees. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson for the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 68 degrees in Pensacola, 67 in Gulf Breeze, 65 in Milton. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
U.S. Steel has idled a battery in Pennsylvania after the release of excess gas inside the battery caused an early morning ignition. Two employees who got material in their eyes were taken to a local hospital for evaluation and were later released and returned to work. OpenAI has a shortlist for Stargate, a potentially $500 billion investment in the hardware needed to power artificial intelligence models. OpenAI said it is evaluating potential sites in Pennsylvania, Oregon, and Wisconsin, with site visits happening next week. That's according to the company's chief financial officer, Sarah Friar. Pittsburgh air travelers have a new destination available to them. Breeze Airways will now offer flights to Greenville Spartanburg International Airport in South Carolina on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the summer. That's according to a Pittsburgh International Airport release. Futures are slightly higher. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 317. The NASDAQ closed flat. The S&P 500 gained 23. That's your money now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eyezervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Eyezervay gets GA going slower.
Eyezervay or avacincaptad pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Eyezervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Eyezervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Eyezervay today.
Eyezervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Eyezervay.com. That's Eyezervay.com.
At Pinair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pinair Credit Union, because at Pinair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pinair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pinair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware.
We are expecting some snow here later today.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me. Our 17 critical roads within the city have already been cleared of snow.
When you need to know.
Mayor Reeves declared a local state of emergency. City offices are closed today, of course. They will schedule to be reopened.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
When you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Once I want to really work on is safety in my district. We got to have fire hydrants, and it's the water company problem, but we got to work with these people to try to figure out how we're going to save these houses if they catch some fire. Because you building houses that close together, you get one, they all going to burn before the fire department get there. And don't tell me they won't. I've been through that. I lost a sister in a house fire because houses next to me, they couldn't get there. Don't tell me it won't happen, it will. Look at California today. It's burnt down, too close. Let's put these houses, and I know these people, builders gonna be against me right now. Let's put these houses on 1 acre, get them apart for a little while. And then maybe later on we can go back to a half acre, but we gotta get them separated for safety right now.
The what? What? All right, context. This is Commissioner Ray Eddington. That's District 4 Navarre area in Santa Rosa County. In a recent workshop they had talking about the land development code, and his idea is let's make it so that all development is one house per acre. No third of an acre, no quarter of an acre, no half acre. We, as he said, it's a fire risk because houses too close together is more of a fire risk. And, you know, as we've seen in California and elsewhere, fires can jump and whatever. So his answer is one house per acre. What would one house per acre actually mean for the whole, if the whole county, like all development in the county, no more subdivisions? I mean, you can have a subdivision at an acre per house, but I mean, you know, it's not like any subdivision you've ever seen. You think most, you know, because most subdivisions are a quarter or a third of an acre per house, right? So you wouldn't be able to build subdivisions. And what's the big trade-off? What's the big problem that Santa Rosa County is working on that Escambia County is still ignoring? What's the big problem that Santa Rosa County is working on? How do we preserve farmland? Right? Because you keep chewing out farmland and turning it into houses. You keep, you know, you stop planting soybeans and cotton and you start planting houses, and you can never eat a house once you planted it there. So how do you do that? Well, you increase density, you increase elevation, you build up and you build closer together. And he's not wrong that there's more fire hazard of that, but we know how to mitigate fire hazard. We do it all the time. And so Bobby Burkett, a new member of the board, says,
we definitely have to save our farmland, agricultural land. That's one of the things I ran on also. I used to, and my wife got on to me all the time about saying this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it again. So I hear it when I get home, and that's okay. Santa Rosa County feeds a lot of people. We grow a lot of peanuts, and I think we're number one in Southeast in peanuts. They use peanuts in just about everything. So we plant a field of peanuts. Next year, we can plant a field of peanuts, or we can plant cotton. We plant a house 10 years from now. We still got that house. And
exactly.
This is the part my wife used to get on to about. You can't eat that house. You can eat the peanuts and you can eat the corn, but you can't eat that house. So we got to save our farmlands, and I'm 100% in agreement with moving it to right there.
Well, my house is made out of gingerbread. I don't know about you.
That's Kerry Smith.
I don't say nothing about that. I want to appreciate you bringing that up. I brought that up 2 years ago and got shot down. I want to protect the farmland. Y'all, one day it's coming, they're going to have to feed us. And we need to save it. We might want to look at moving it a little bit farther down the line. You know, that's something we can look at. And I'm all on board with you on that, sir.
They're talking about the rural development line. It's details there. I mean, they're important, but it's not so real. Wait, sir, you just said you want an acre per house, and now you want to protect farmland. You must pick. Cannot do both. Cannot do both. And look, I like Ray. I think Ray tries his best, but, you know, he could not. You could not be more wrong. You could try, but you would not be successful. You know, like that's the old Ross quote from Friends. Man, an acre, like just out of nowhere in the land development code. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to end subdivisions and we're going to chew up all the farmland there is. No, but I want to protect farmland. Dude, pick! Colton Wright. Colton Wright.
Commissioner Eddington, not to pick a bone, but...
Pick it!
I do have to disagree on one house per acre across the board. It'd be hard for me to support that in District 4, and there's no way I can support it in District 5 on the little bit of land we do have left, because it doesn't make sense in a more urban community to me.
There's no way it makes sense. There's nowhere it makes sense. So, yeah, no, this was, it was a weird one. Oh, you know, we were talking about the fluoride stuff a lot yesterday. ECUA has now voted to move towards having at least a conversation and a pathway towards having a referendum on eliminating fluoride in the water. One of the more interesting things I thought in that meeting was actually the invocation. I like a good invocation. And the invocation for that meeting, Lois Benson, one of the board members, actually did it. I'll share that with you when we get back, because it was really juicy. It was really interesting. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. Speaking of accidents, none to report right now, but we are seeing some delays on 98 eastbound, just east of the Garson Point Bridge. It's starting to be 9 to 10 minutes delay going that area eastbound. But other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. You know, I always talk about Frontier Motors serving the Pensacola community, and you might think, well, I mean, don't they sell used cars? How do they serve? Well, they serve through their capacity as, you know, that industry as being helpful. Like, for example, okay, you know, it's pretty standard when you go to like a regular organized car place that they're going to give you the Carfax on a car you're going to buy, right, to see the vehicle maintenance repair history, which, by the way, Carfax is not everything, but a Carfax is better than nothing, okay? You still ought to get it inspected by a mechanic you trust, but okay. But, you know, you go to buy some car on Facebook or from, you know, Jim on the corner, whatever, it may not give you a Carfax. Well, just go to Frontier. They'll give you a Carfax for that car. They'll literally help you get a Carfax so that you can have information on a car that you're buying from somebody else. Why? Because they can, because it's helpful. You know, no big deal. You want guidance on what a car is worth, or, you know, what a trade-in is worth, or, you know, because they may not want to buy your car, but they'll help you. Just think of them as a resource. You know, they just love to help. And, you know, they're there for you, basically, to give you guidance. Now, obviously, they also want to sell you cars. But their philosophy is, we just want to be useful. We want people to like coming to us. We want them to trust us and have confidence in us so that when they need a car, they're maybe a little bit more likely or a lot likely to come back and buy from us. And that's the kind of place you want to go to, a place I trust. You know, I have confidence in them. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Ladies, are you looking to make a big difference in the new year? I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a woman's philanthropic group that has awarded over $17 million to nonprofit organizations in our community. Women 18 and older are invited to upcoming meet and mingle events, with March 1st as our membership deadline. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, enjoy the Pensacola Symphony's Mozart Madness at the First Baptist Church of Pensacola. For tickets and more info, please see pensacolasymphony.org. The 12th annual Kids and Critters Parade will take place Saturday in the Casino Beach parking lot across from Sidelines. It's the kids' chance to enjoy some Mardi Gras fun. See visitpensacola.com for more. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Captain Pete Maverick Mitchell.
Your reputation precedes you.
Thank you, sir.
Wasn't a compliment.
So I mentioned right before the break that the invocation at the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, the ECUA meeting a week ago, maybe? Anyway, that the invocation was actually really interesting. I mean, the main topic of that meeting that was worth you paying attention to is that we are probably going to have a referendum vote on whether to defluoridize? You get rid of the fluoride from the water in Escambia County. I would expect that to be happening in 2026, or maybe even, you know, they'll decide before that. But I thought the invocation was really interesting. Lois Benson gave it, and, you know, I just want to share it with you a little bit here.
On this election day, dear Lord, we pray for the risk takers who are willing to run for office even when the odds are against them, candidates whose coffers may be shallow but their ideas lofty, men and women willing to speak out even when they risk being maligned for doing so.
Even when they risk being maligned for doing it. I know there's something going on with her mic. Every time she was talking, it kind of had this problem. So be thankful for the risk takers, the people who put themselves out there. I do. People who run for office, even though I wish not quite as many of them would do so. I wish we didn't have so many people qualified for the District 3 race. I wish we had not had so many Republicans to have to pick between for the District 1 primary, congressional. Anyway, but no, she continues. And again, I thought this was quite good.
More ideas and fewer sound bites.
More ideas and fewer sound bites. Amen.
People who share the values of those who serve in our military, country above self.
Putting country above self.
Lord, please deliver us from the lemmings.
Deliver us from the lemmings. Love it. And this was on election. This is on primary day, right? Is when it took place.
Our democracy depends not so much on the seemingly great and powerful, but on those who may appear, but are willing to stand.
People who may not appear to be strong, not depending on the great and powerful, but the ordinary people.
Ask you to send us fewer Joe McCarthy's and more Rosa Parks and guide all of us who make decisions on behalf of our county or of the United States.
Again, sorry about the mic cutting out. It's not my fault. I fixed it as much as I could. But send us fewer Joe McCarthy's and more Rosa Parks. Oh, man. Amen. I mean, right? Isn't that a great invocation?
That is. That was awesome.
Love it. Love it. Way to go, Lois. 6:52 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, dozens of people attended a vigil on the banks of the Potomac River yesterday in Washington, D.C. to honor the victims of last week's mid-air collision.
1 week ago, the whole nation turned its eyes to this riverfront, to the place we call home. And it's been really difficult to comprehend that our home could also be the place of such sorrow.
Virginia Congressman Don Beyer there, and 67 people died in that crash. NFL star Travis Kelce says it's cool. The President Trump will be at the Super Bowl this weekend. Kelce's team, the Kansas City Chiefs, face the Philadelphia Eagles in Super Bowl 59 on Sunday. Trump said he plans to attend. Kelce's girlfriend, Taylor Swift, may have a different opinion on whether that's cool or not. Turns out a juice cleanse, Andrew, might not be as beneficial as you would think. There's a new study out from Northwestern University. It finds that vegetable and fruit juice only diet can change your gut and oral bacteria linked to inflammation and cognitive decline. It suggests that stripping the fiber out of fruit causes imbalances and has negative health consequences.
Interesting. All right. This is my long stated concern about health advice is that, you know, science has a way of changing opinion over time. Better information comes along and the advice, the guidance is different. Breastfeeding versus formula. You know, there was a time when they discouraged women from breastfeeding, amazingly enough.
Right.
There really was. You know, the world, global heating is the problem. No, global cooling was the problem in the 70s. You know, overpopulation. No, now underpopulation. Right? You know, okay, so bear with me. What I have always said about health advice is that in 20 years, what we're going to find out is that cholesterol prevents cancer and bran will be the silent killer. Juice cleanses are destroying your gut biome.
I would like to subscribe to your newsletter.
I'll just say it's also convenient to ignore a lot of the health advice and just do what you want. Because, you know, Grandma McGuffin, you know, she lived to be 104 and smoked and drank and ate bacon every day. And, you know, good enough for me. Anyway, David, thanks so much for the update. Somebody asked a question. I thought when it comes to density of home building, you know, one house per acre, which is a bonkers idea by Commissioner Eddington. In Santa Rosa County, it says, isn't it up to the owners of the land, the landowners or the farm, you know, how much density? Yeah, okay. But the way zoning works is it's a maximum density. Like, you know, rural agricultural, you cannot build more than one house per acre. You couldn't put two houses on that land. It's a limit on how much density. And so the idea is, you know, limiting it to that few is a real problem, is a crazy, crazy idea. Now, you can always build less density. I mean, you could have 10 acres and build one house. Or if it's a density of 10 houses per acre, you know, which would be like, you know, multifamily, you could always build just a single family house on that same property. I do think, you know, it gives me an idea. This is a crazy idea. I don't think it's probably practical to use this idea, but it's a question I'd never heard asked before. And so I know a lot of legislators and politicians listen to the show, and it might be a useful prod. Okay. And I used to teach creative thinking and logical thinking and, you know, critical thinking. And sometimes it's like the prod itself isn't what you want to do, but it makes you think of something. It suddenly occurs to me, could you have a zoning that had minimum density? Like, if you're going to develop, it has to be at least four houses per acre, or it has to, like, we tend to think of it as always maximum density. You can do anything up to a density. I just wonder if it might be, since we're talking about trying to make higher density in order to preserve land, could you have a zoning that had a minimum density? I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's probably legal. I don't think it exists, but it's just a thought that occurs to me. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Good thought, though. Let's see here. No accidents to let you
it's
know
It's weird,
about.
Though, right? Like, you've never heard of that, have you?
I've never heard of it, but it's also
there's something
a good
about
concept.
It that kind of, like, there's something about that. Like, in this area, we're not going to let you waste all that land
exactly.
on a single house.
Right.
I don't know. It's a weird idea, but anyway, I wanted to share. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, no accidents to report right now, but if you're headed from downtown Milton into East Milton, you're going to see maybe a 7 to 9 minute delay. Also, 98 eastbound just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, seeing about a 10-minute delay due to congestion in the construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. What was the other thing I was going to... Oh, somebody says, I hate that I missed that portion of the invocation. All I hear you say, Andrew, was less Joe McCarthy and more Rosa Parks. Well, here's why we have a podcast. See, you can always go back and listen to parts of the show. Go to newsradio923.com or download the app, and you can always listen to it later. So, sorry, but, you know, there is a remedy. There is a remedy. Somebody says fire sprinkler systems for all new construction, but that will raise the cost. Yes, it would. Yes, it would. It's a bit intrusive. It's because it's so expensive. But yeah, the house per acre kind of solution to this problem is, you know, way, way, way too much. What was the other thing I was going to tell you? Oh, Escambia County Commission. I've been talking a lot about Santa Rosa and Milton lately. Escambia County Commission is going to have another committee of the whole today. Woohoo! The two in one... and a half months. That's amazing. We haven't had one in 2 years before that. So, and the topic of discussion is OLF-8, or what my boss says, Olaf. They ought to have a mascot. Olaf should be the mascot for OLF-8. And I probably can't do Olaf the Snowman or whatever, but you can come up with another one like Olaf the Marmoset or Olaf the Brad the Black Bear. Olaf the Crocodile.
The Marmoset? I'm still stuck on that one, man.
Olaf could be the friendly alligator, you know, here in Northwest Florida. I don't know, the flamingo. But OLF-8, and we could talk about Olaf instead of OLF. Anyway, they're going to talk about this again today. Weird stuff afoot, okay? The conversation with Beulah Town Center, that's the Fred Hemmer Group, have apparently come forward with two proposals. One is to just plain buy it all right now at $43.5 million. The other, the $50 million, is to buy it, I think, over time with five purchases. But it's structured so that the juicy part sells first. No, can't do it that way. The juicy part should sell last. That way you incentivize going through with the entire sale. Because if you can sell off the sweet stuff, I mean, I've got a comic book collection and, you know, but, well, I just want to buy the good ones. No, you got to buy it all. Well, okay, I'll buy the good one. No, buy them last. Like, you know... Don't sell the good stuff up front. Sell the good stuff at the end. So I don't know what they're going to decide about that. Oh, FDOT does say they're working on the lights of the bridge. So they will definitely be fixed in the next 3 years. what, too optimistic? 4 years? Okay, 5 years. Anyway, it gets longer every time I mention it. Oh, and kudos to Ashley Hoffberger. She is proposing to get rid of the Jonathan Owens rule. Remember that the county commission put in place to prevent somebody from running against the commissioners if they work for the county? Dumb, silly policy, and she's getting rid of it. Good for
her. You're listening to...